Ta-da!
Check 1, 2. Hi, everybody. Nice to see you. Good to be back. The kitchen studio it is yet again today. Also eating a nice sharp blue cheese made out of sheep cheese. That's what I was just eating before I got. I was eating sheep blue cheese before we got on the podcast. You don't like blue cheese?
Oh, God, I hate it.
Sharp, stinky cheddars? You don't like those, Lachlan Cross?
I'll take an old cheddar. Yeah. Blue cheese is where I draw the line. I actually have a list of people that I don't trust, and anybody who cooks or eats blue cheese is on that list.
Whatever. No. If you're not having it on a steak, you have a blue cheese on a
awful.
Steak.
Awful. No.
If you haven't had it, how are you I've saying it's awful? When?
It's like had blue cheese on a steak? Like, why do I want to lick a battery?
Oh, it's not a battery. It's cheese.
I don't
delicious
do blue cheese. I'm a cheese fan.
Cheese. Yeah. I am too. The fan. Guinness cheese. Big fan of the Guinness cheese. Had a tour.
Have you ever had vegan cheese? Awful.
No.
Oh, my God.
No, that's like giving up.
Yeah.
That's why I don't eat vegan food. Well, you know what we did the other night? So my girlfriend, she's like, we got to go to a restaurant that I want to go to, Michelin star. And I'm like, all right, well, let's go. Let's go. What are we having? She's like, Mexican. I'm like, ooh, I love Mexican. Tacos, tamales.
Yeah.
Ooh, really
enchiladas. Nice.
Yeah. Enchiladas, guac,
burritos.
I'm in
guac.
So we go love for a nice guac. We get to the restaurant. It's this beautiful place in downtown Toronto. Michelin star 2 years ago, 2023, 2024. I'm like, it's going to be pretty good. So we get in, sit down. I'm looking at the menu. I order my food. She orders her food. Order a couple appetizers. It's fucking delicious. I'm like, this is delicious. These appetizers are delicious.
Was it all vegan?
And then the tacos come. I'm like, these are the best pastor tacos I've ever had. Barbacoa was so delicious. Chicken, beef, pork, so good. She didn't say a word to me. She didn't tell me that everything on that menu was plant-based and vegan. Everything. Mm. And I had no idea.
Mm.
And I was A, super pissed off at the end of it. But B, the next day, I had the biggest poop of my entire life. All because I had an entire plant-based meal. And here's the thing. I felt pretty full at the end of that plant-based meal. So when you're getting all testy and you're making fun of vegans, just know I had an entire Mexican vegan meal. It ran
issue
right through me, and it was delicious, and I might do it again. So go ahead and mock all the vegans if you want. Go ahead. It was
my
delicious
thing,
and I didn't even know it wasn't meat. And it makes me sad that that's the case. What's your thing?
My thing with the vegan lifestyle is not, it has nothing to do
with
the food.
Yeah.
It's the, you have to do this.
For
and
the good of humanity.
Yes. And unfortunately, anybody that I have met, yeah, right, that's been vegan, that is like, I'm a vegan. This is what I'm doing. I'm doing it to save the planet. Mm-hmm. They're really annoying people. No
like
one's
juicers
ever introduced me to a vegan that hasn't been annoying.
About
if
being
I
vegan
ever meet somebody that's a vegan, I'm in Alberta.
Yeah.
And right. Like,
well, you don't like vegans in Alberta.
Vegans.
Yeah. No. In Alberta, right? Vegans are like Trudeau supporters, right?
Yeah.
They're hated because of the two industries. Oil,
yeah,
meat. Oil, meat runs the entire province of Ontario. Oil, meat, ag. So if you're not like, which is interesting, they should have more plant-based people there.
We're way more progressive than you give us credit for.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I want to get to that in just a minute. I also want to stay on the topic of food for a second because Tim Hortons, who I regularly chide on this program, who
you
continually
have a particular hatred for Tim Hortons.
Oh, I hate Tim Hortons so much.
Really?
It hurts me. It hurts me to say it. We've had a terrible time, me and Tim Hortons. And I used to love it. Like I said, when I was a kid, 14, 15,
Tim
first
send you a note?
Mom. No, not at all. No, fuck Tim Hortons. How do you like that?
Did Tim
clearly
Tim
they didn't.
The head
no,
Tim.
But I did get a note from someone who works with the people at Tim Hortons, and they're like, do you ever want advertising from Tim Hortons? And I said to them, you've never given me a fucking dime, so why would I give a shit anymore? Why would I pander to you in the hopes that you're going to advertise your new croissants on our podcast? Like, I'm like, zero desire.
They might.
But that's what they might. And I does,
listen,
Ed,
when you can
shit on them. So last week, go ahead.
Tim's. Yeah. I still love you. I still go there in the mornings and have a cop. You know what? Somebody sent me a note when you were bitching about Tim's last week, and you went off. You went off on Tim's. Somebody
sent
me a
note. You know why I went off on Tim's? I went off on Tim's because they made me order food, knew full well they didn't have any of the ingredients, and then tried to get me to change my loaded wrap order to a chili and a fucking apple fritter 30 minutes later. And I'm like, whatever. Anyway,
and that's happened multiple times to you.
Several.
One guy sent me a note and said, tell Dean that it's his fault for trying to order something outside of breakfast to Tim's. And that's a thing for me. Like, I don't go to Tim's for lunch.
Sandwich? No. Or dinner, right?
So my disappointment level is not as high as yours.
You temper your expectations because you go to Tim's for one thing and one thing only.
I get a belt. Guess what? A belt and a coffee.
Not only, which is the worst sandwich they have. Not
I
only
love
is
the belt.
Well, of course you do.
I love bagels.
Yeah, I know you love.
They're vegan.
No, they're whatever. So Tim Hortons introduces a pizza today. Now, they can't get any of their other menu items right outside of the eggs and the farmer wrap and the coffee. Like, they can't get any sandwich right. They can't get a croissant sandwich right. They can't get a wrap right. They run out of shit every bite. If you don't get there before 11:30, you're not getting lunch. Yeah. Don't sleep on the Dutchie. They brought that back.
I love the Dutchie.
Dude, so do I. But that's all they do. And they don't even do that well.
Yeah, they do.
Anymore. They do. No, they don't. It's all pre-made and frozen. They used to make it in fucking store. They had the guy that's on a work release program in the chef's outfit at 3 o'clock in the morning coming out, delivering like fresh everything. Well, that guy lost his job because they're like, we can't keep hiring fucking former criminals to bake our food. It costs too much money. You know the guy I'm talking about, right? The guy Jerry. With all the tats and the hairnet. Jerry. And he just like 3 a.m, you get in there and you're going to work at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Accident. And he's like, manslaughter.
I hate my life. That guy. That's why they went to frozen food. The work release chefs didn't work anymore. Anyway.
They don't put him out front because he's got a face tattoo.
I love those guys. That's all I do. Tell my boys. I got 3 boys. I'm like, guys, don't get face tattoos. Okay. Whatever you do, you can get them like when you're 28 or when you're independently wealthy, but don't get a face tattoo right now. It's like, okay. Well, the reviews of this new pizza are in. And oh my God, it's fucking terrible.
I have not seen this. There might not be in
one
Alberta.
Review. I don't think it is. I think it's just in Ontario right now. There's like they don't do a good job of anything outside of coffee,
maybe they're
donuts,
testing
and eggs.
It.
Nothing. And that's just stock. Like, you can go there and get all kinds of, this is just it's a tradition. Tim Hortons is more of a tradition. Well, that tradition is now fucking over the people that went there for one reason and one reason only: coffee, donuts, maybe a bacon belt in the morning. Couple reviews. This is just from the car review guy wearing a Costco sweater.
I like the car guy.
Yeah. The car review guy is the best. He doesn't like it.
Welcome to another review in the car. This first day, Tim Hortons pizza. This is a Tim Hortons pizza box. Ooh. I got the bacon. What was it? Bacon everything flat bread pizza. And I had to wait for this. It's the first day. It was probably almost a 20-minute wait for this. Just because so many people ordering them, the drive through everywhere, like they were just like pizza, 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 flying them through the oven. But anyway,
it doesn't look that
bad.
Doesn't
look too bad. There's bacon on there.
Yeah.
It's on a piece of flatbread. They had pizza cutters. Like, they cut the pizza.
They had saddles.
Well. They didn't cut all the way through. They were
asking for Corey Perry.
Bacon fell off.
Fell off, yeah.
They got the toppings on top of the cheese. So
yeah, this guy,
you know, all the toppings were falling off. Yeah. There you go.
I have a theory about
a little focus tell you. There, but
yeah, just
food advice.
I'm gonna fold it. I don't want to get this over the car.
Yeah,
that's the important thing about eating in the car. You don't want to make a mess.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Eating. He's in the got car. A bit of Newfie in him, I think.
Big time. Couple. Wait for the review.
I was expecting pizza sauce, but I think it's more of a spread.
Spread.
That's what a pizza sauce is. No offense, but I don't know that this guy's got a discerning palate. You know.
What's his name again?
Like the bread is good.
Car review.
Not overdone.
Car review guy.
Not underdone.
No. He's got a little pizza on his shirt now. He's gonna have to wash his new Costco sweater.
He's got a crunch.
It's quite the review so far.
I'd probably get that again. That's not bad.
You didn't kill it.
Of course, this is the most amazing pizza you've ever had. No, it's Tim Hortons. But, you know, yeah, Tim Hortons. With some friends, they want to get a coffee, you're hungry. Not bad.
Let's see.
Ringing endorsement.
You didn't kill it.
Wiping his face. Yeah, dude, that's...
Went in for a second piece.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that's more to do with the gentleman than it is the cuisine, if you will. Blog T.O. Hang on. Let me get to one more review. Blog T.O. said a guy to review all of the pizzas.
Okay, then I have some advice for people.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
Here's the review from Blog T.O. of the Tim Hortons pizzas. Again, this is not like... I'm not ganging up on Tim's. And yeah, these are only two of like 30 reviews I watched while I was waiting to go pick up my car today. I'm like, oh my God, people hate this fucking pizza. Like everybody hates this pizza. It's not even fair.
For whatever reason, Tim Hortons is now selling pizza. I'm going to go try it so that you...
For whatever reason, Tim Hortons is selling pizza. Oh, I love this. I don't know who this guy is, but what a hot start.
Tim Hortons is now selling pizza. I'm going to go try it so that you don't have to. They added these temporarily 2022. They've added it to the menu now permanently. And let's head inside and see if the new flatbread pizza is edible.
Hi, how's it going? I'm going to do the chicken parmesan, bacon everything, pepperoni, simply cheese. Okay, bit of a wait, but I got myself my four pizzas. I'm going to bring these pizzas to the Blog TO office and we'll go from there. Pizzas have arrived.
Yeah. And you know what? It's looking pretty good. First up, the bacon. Not a part of the pilot program 2 years ago. The same bacon they use on the BLTs. No tomato sauce on this one. They also have like a whole bunch of sesame seeds. This is like biting into a bun. Dry, there's no tomato sauce. The bacon is good. Just seems like a bun plus some bacon in it. Maybe a 5.5. It just seems kind of random. Cheese, $6.99. This is my favorite out of the flavors that I tried. Takes a while to chew. It's not toasted at all. And the inside is very spongy. If you're comparing this to other pizzas, it obviously does not compare. But if you're comparing it to a 7-Eleven type, it's not bad. 6.5 out of 10. Pepperoni. I remember not liking this one very much. Ugh, that ain't it. You'd think, oh, it'd be a little bit better because there's pepperoni, but I don't like the pepperoni that they've included. I don't like when meat is sweet. It makes it worse for me. 5 out of 10. Ugh. Chicken parmesan, which is definitely, you know, the chicken they use for other menu items. Ugh. Oh, it's worse than I remember. Nah, that ain't it either. Brownie points for trying to think outside the box. 5 as well. If you still want to go try it, please be my guest. Let me know what you
think. Yeah, I'll tell you what I think. Don't do it. Don't try it. Don't eat it.
I'm going to get pizza. I'm going to completely ignore you.
Of course you are, dude. You single-handedly brought the McRib back for the whole fucking country.
We did. The locker room.
Yeah, I know you did.
Here's the thing. This is something that I will pass along just you know, just based on my understanding of food. And Kingston, leave your foot alone. Thank you. You hurt his paw the other day. Yeah, yesterday I ran over him on my scooter, dummy, running beside me. Anyway. Never ignore food advice from a fat guy. Honestly.
First dude in the Costco sweater? Yeah. He wasn't impressed. He was a big dude.
He didn't kill it.
He didn't completely destroy it.
Dude, yeah. He said he'd go back.
Pizza. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Did, no offense. But of course he's going back. Like, of course he's going back. So I'm saying you can't always take that kind of person's endorsement of food because he's no offense at all to the gentleman, he's a garbage can. So of course, like, he's eating, he's doing fucking like fast food pizza reviews from the driver's seat of his car.
Yeah, don't ignore a fat guy's food advice ever. Here's the thing. I appreciate it. I think the problem with Tim Hortons is they're trying to bring people into their stores, and they've kind of lost sight of
quality.
Service. So instead of doing what they do really, really well and doing that really, really well, they keep trying to do these other things. And I think it takes their eye off the ball a bit.
It's killing them. You know, when we were there last time, and I hate to do this to Morton's, I really don't, but I hate doing this even though I don't, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, I probably shouldn't be shitting all over. But this was a Canadian institution.
It was. It definitely has slipped.
This was heritage. This was like everybody's first coffee in this country. It's like Dunkin' Donuts for people in the United States.
Yeah.
All those tubble lards on fucking scooters at Disney World. All those people. They grew up with a
Dunkin' Donuts.
Like an 1,100 calorie Frappuccino, right?
Yeah.
And that's what they were brought up on.
It's does like Dunkin' Donuts do lunch?
They're going to get out of the donut game and start making pizzas. They don't do that. To your point, fucking Tim Hortons. Very
what's
upset.
What's his nut loves Dunkin' Donuts? Married Ooh. To J-Lo.
Oh, what's his name? Ben Affleck. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
his Dunkin' Donuts commercials are really funny.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're probably good. They probably didn't take their eyes off the prize. They're like, what are we? We do coffee donuts. There wasn't some jack off in the room going, let's come out with a pizza. They're like, no, we don't do pizzas. We do sugary drinks and donuts and some ice cream.
So I think that's part of the problem, the right? Sandwich. Like, I think they're trying to be more than they are. And they're in that attempt to be more than they are, they're losing sight of what they're good at. And so. Yeah. So it is unfortunate because I think there is a separation between Ontario Tim Hortons and Alberta Tim Hortons. Cause again, last week when you went crazy, you were not getting as much support in my province as you were in Ontario. Like, I was watching it on social media. People are like, yeah, no, Dean's onto something. All the Tims here really slipped and they're always running out of stuff. Whereas I don't think that's as big an issue in Alberta for whatever reason.
They care in Alberta. They care about the food a little bit more. They have to care a little bit more. Speaking of failures, after what, 26 years, the Arizona Coyotes are relocating to Salt Lake City. Did you see that news yesterday? After trying to jam a square peg in a fucking round hockey hole for the past 26 years, Gary Bettman finally released. He's like, all right, I get it. It doesn't work. You're playing in a 4,000-seat arena at a fucking university. And we're like one of the premier professional leagues in this country. Mullet Arena in Arizona, at Arizona State University. They're like, ah, fuck. Sold it to a group of billionaires out of Salt Lake City. They're going to be called the Salt Lake City Utes. Last night was their last game.
No, they're not the Utes.
Oh, yeah,
What's a Ute?
I don't know. Utah. Someone from Utah, I guess. I don't know. A Ute. But that's apparently, or it's going to be the Salt Lake Snowmen. I heard that one too. But either way, the Mormon capital of the world is going to get an NHL team where, by the way, you can't find alcohol in Salt Lake City. So if you're one of the Arizona Coyotes and if you're planning on having a rookie season in Arizona next year, or you love the fellas and you love the nightlife.
Can't you?
Salt Lake City, totally dry city.
Is it?
Totally dry. Yeah, Mormons run that entire city. It's like the Mormons took over the entire fucking state when they decided the cult was then going to be a religion. They bought the whole state and they're like, no one drinks here. Even though all the real Mormons drink. Yeah.
I did not know that.
It's going to be funny. Anyway, what do you think? What do you think of Phoenix leaving?
Well, it's
about time.
The old desert dogs. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking about
stupid for fucking a quarter century, dude. Like they made the playoffs like twice.
Was it? They were there for 26 years.
Yeah, a quarter century, dude. It was in the early mid 90s, right when they slipped.
It's funny because Bettman would just defend that team to the death. mm-hmm. right? Like mm-hmm. any of those decisions that he made to expand into the United States. And for the most part, it's gone quite well. There's been a couple of duds, right? But any talk about expanding in Canada is just, it's not going to happen.
No.
Right?
No.
Like, we're not doing it. And yet we'll just die on a cross for these teams. So it doesn't surprise me that they're moving. I mean, I could care less.
Nobody does.
I mean, it's exciting because you'll get a new jersey in the league. It's like when the Kraken came in, I'm like, oh, cool, new jersey. Like a new uniform, new team. That's exciting. Seattle, they deserve a team. Big city in the United
States. I thought the Vegas thing worked.
West Coast. I was excited. Dude, they won the cup last year. It's been a runaway.
I know. I like the Seattle move. I didn't mind that.
I do too. But dude,
I like the idea. I would love the idea of another Canadian team. I mean, I think Ontario could handle it.
Leafs never allow it. Greediest fuckers in the league. They would never allow it. Toronto Maple Leafs would never allow it. And by the way, I don't know if you've noticed. Oh, yeah. The problem is the Toronto Maple Leafs just believe they think
we need a team in Regina.
Yeah. No, you don't. 400,000 people, 20,000 in an arena. Never happen. But the interesting part of that whole thing is, you know, I was laughing about it because people were talking about expansion and maybe the team might move here because it hasn't been announced they're going to Salt Lake, but they're going to Salt Lake. Is the Toronto Maple Leafs drew the Boston Bruins in the first round of the playoffs this year, starting a couple of days.
Which I love.
Oh, my God. This city is on fucking fire right now. So I put out a tweet today. I go, my money's on Bruins in seven. And they're like, you're an asshole. I've been called a pedophile by Leaf fans today. Like, someone's like, you've got heads in your freezer. And I'm like, I just play the ratio here. Like, I'm just playing the odds. When you lose in the first round of the season,
I might put another $100 bet
6 years in a row and you get a break from them in, you know, year seven and you get out of the first round and then you get dummied in the second round again and you're the most unlucky team in the history of the playoffs for Canadian franchises. It just is a misery. And you draw that team in the first round on a year where you've got the most complete team and your best chance to make a deep run in the Stanley Cup Finals. And you look at the Boston Bruins standing there going, hi, like most of me, and I'm not kidding you, and Leaf fans will hate this, most of me wants the Leafs to lose in seven again. Just
no
fucking joke.
Really?
Yeah, shit. Really? You know it. Yeah, it's funny.
I can't see it happening. You guys got the best player that's ever played the game.
Austin Matthews, he is. He's the greatest two-way player in the
history. So, I mean, I like your chances.
You can't argue with that. You can't argue with that.
Yeah, I can. He's
the best two-way player in the league. No, he is. Yeah.
Love the fact that he didn't get 70.
He tried like fucking crazy last night, too. He was like all over the place. 40,000 shots on goal. Nothing. He's like, tried so hard to become the guy that scored 70th goal, ninth player in the history of the league to score 70 plus.
69. Just that's fitting for me. I don't know why.
Yeah, you do. It's fitting for him, too, I think, from everything that I've heard. So he's like,
I am okay with Matthews not getting. Yeah. And then the Oilers got just handed their hats by the Coyotes
in their last game. Yeah.
22 games this year.
Yeah, they got hammered last night. They didn't play their regulars, though, right? They had the playoffs kind of I saw a couple of dudes who I'm like, I've never even seen that guy. Beauregard, no idea who that guy is, or Bogarode.
The resting. Couple of people, but still,
yeah, of course, you don't lose. Who did they get in the first round, by the way? Who did the Oilers get?
You know what? It's still not decided because it's so tight in the West. Hmm. Yeah. I think if Vancouver, they're playing tonight. Is Vancouver playing? I'm not going to bother looking. I know the Oilers are playing tonight. It comes down to the final games.
Oh, it does. Like it comes down to tonight's game
because the Kings and the Vegas Knights are so close mm-hmm. that it depends on who wins. So it won't be decided until after tonight.
Okay, so you got Panthers, Lightning, Bruins, Leafs, Rangers, Caps, Hurricanes, Islanders. That should be cool.
Yeah, there's more separation in the East.
Yeah.
So, but still came down to the wire.
Yeah,
for a lot of teams.
You've got Stars, Preds, Jets, Avs. Jets, Avs would be a great series. So I guess you're between Oilers, 2,604 points. see if you get Golden Knights or the so yeah, you each got a game left. So Leafs are done. They've played 82.
Yeah.
Oilers are 81. Knights are 81. Kings are 81. Canucks already sewed up the Pacific Division. So it's just those three teams, right? Oilers, Knights, Kings, and that's kind of where it lines up. You got one more game.
Then there's ties and all that. Like, you know, there's
oh, you got second sewn up, dude. Like the you've got second in there. So it's either the Knights or the Kings.
You just don't know who the opponent is based on how close it is in that wild card.
Kings or Knights. That's who you're going to get. Yeah. All right.
Anyway, I'm looking forward to the playoffs.
Yeah, me too. I'm really looking forward to watching the Leafs lose in seven, to be honest with you. It's like, you know, that's a shitty thing to say if you're a Leaf fan, but it's a better story than getting out of the first round and everybody thinking it's a Stanley Cup or getting out of the second round. If the Leafs get out of the second round, I'll put my hatred for their first round bullshit down.
I got to be honest, as much as I enjoy the pain and suffering of the Toronto Maple Leaf fans.
Yes.
I'm excited about this year because of the competitive nature of the Canadian teams. So we've got, you know, Jets, we got Canucks, we got Oilers, we got the Leafs, all with the chance of making a bit of a some noise in the playoffs. And you know what? Listen, I would love to see it. I'm still that Canadian hockey fan. Excluding the Habs, I'm still a Canadian hockey fan, and I cheer for the Canadian teams to do well. I have a hard time chewing on Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been a huge Flames fan ever. So if they go on a run, they're not in the playoffs. But I'm just saying, if they were in it, I would be like,
You'd be okay with it.
I can get behind the Jets. I can get behind the Leafs. I can get behind the Canucks. And I'm an Oilers fan. I've been here since 2006. So
there's a huge segment.
It's going to be exciting this
year. Oh, totally. There's a huge segment of the hockey world here in Canada, though, that doesn't understand that. Thinking, I'm like you. Like, you know, if the Leafs are out, or let's say, you know, the Oilers are still in, Leafs are out, I'm an Oilers guy. Oilers and Leafs are out, Jets are in, I'm a Jets guy. I'm a Canadian hockey fan. Like, I love Canada for those reasons. Yeah. I love the culture. I love the idea of us gathering around our televisions as we've been doing for such a long time. And so you've got people out there that think the opposite. It's like, why the fuck would you do that? And it's usually American hockey fans are like, really? Really? You're just going to cheer for Canadian team? That's stupid. Like my buddy Darren Pfeiffer from the band Goldfinger. Every time the playoffs start, talked to him a couple days ago. He's like, you going to go for the fucking Leafs? And I'm like, yeah. He goes, what if they're out? And I'm like, he's like, I go, well, it's not the Sabres. He's a big Sabres guy. He goes, why don't you cheer for the best American team? I'm like, I'm Canadian. He's like, that's stupid. I'm like, no, most of us are like that. Like, not very many people in Canada don't cheer for the Canadian team or last Canadian team. Like, when the Oilers went deep with Ryan Smith, loved it. When the Flames went deep about 20 years ago and they lost, should have won the Stanley Cup to the Tampa Bay Lightning. I was a big Flames guy that year, and I fucking hate the Flames because I grew up an Oilers fan, right? So
yeah,
that's how I think, as you should.
I'll even take it one step further. When all the Canadian teams are out, I will cheer for the team that has the most Canadian players on the team.
There you go. See? Xenophobic hockey fans. I love it. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
We've got the locker room retro replay of the day coming up in just a minute. But I want to ask you a question. The question has to do with the budget that came down.
Yes.
Here in Canada. I know a lot of people talking about it, and I think it's boring as fuck talking about budgets. But the budget that came down was like, you know, $52 billion.
They kind of did it to themselves, but the way they rolled it out this year.
Well, like, let me get
everyone's talking about it.
Yeah. So effectively, the thing that's pissed off the most people has only pissed off a very small percentage of Canada. So 0.13% of Canadians make more than $1.4 million, right? High income earners. They got targeted in the budget saying anything capital gains is coming back to us at 67% instead of 50%, right? So if you
own capital gains doesn't just affect the wealthy, though.
Correct. If you own X amount of houses, if you own X amount of businesses, and you sell those businesses or those houses, you're going to get taxed at 60%, 67% of the appreciation in the sale price of that home. Okay, or that business or that thing that you sold.
Which is not the uber rich.
That's, in that case, no, we'll deal with you in a second. Okay? So, what I've seen happen, and I said I was going to see this happen, you're going to see investors CEOs of companies like Shopify, the CEO of Shopify raging against this because he makes $14 million a year. CEOs of investment companies raging against this because they make a bunch of money. Now you're starting to see people who own multiple homes who have worked very hard, yep, in your case, like you,
yep,
talk about one thing. And that one thing is the fact that a lot of people are feel now that they have to sell their homes before this capital gains tax increase goes into effect. And this is interesting. Just found out, this is a tweet from someone named Shazzy, at Shazzy Goalie. Just found out a friend is selling off an investment property because of the Canadian government raising the capital gains tax. How many more will rush to sell before the June 25th deadline? And I tweeted, it's kind of the whole point. That's what this was for. In a lot of cases, why they tied it to capital gains. Because they need houses quickly in this country. So the Trudeau government, to the chagrin of people that own houses, like my dear friend Lachlan Cross, who, by the way, worked very, 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 very hard and was very disciplined with his money so that he could give himself some investment properties, so that he could have something to fall back on. So listen, and I'm not heartless about this. I get it. I get that part of it. But it only affects a very small group of Canadians. You, whether or not
more Canadians than you think. Anybody that owns a cottage, anybody that owns a second property,
if you sell it,
they, and not only that, your capital gains, they've changed the rule as well. Also extends, you can't just give it to your family members or, right? Like they're going to chew on it as well.
Right.
Yeah.
So from your perspective, you are not in the top 1% of wage earners in this country.
Further from it than I would even care to admit. Like we struggle.
Now, specifically now. Like and everybody does. I do, you do, everybody does.
Yeah.
Everybody is going to be affected by these taxes to some extent. But the real question is, people like yourself that have worked hard, that have a lot, that have been asking to give back, not asked, told, right? Where do you sit with it being rich Canada's responsibility to give back a little bit?
We already we're one of the most taxed countries in the world. And it's just a continuation of, and listen, this isn't a partisan comment. I'm not expecting things to change when the Conservative government comes into power. We've got a situation in this country where I don't know why. I've never seen anything like it where, that people are fighting about these tax increases. And if you say, like, listen, I said it when we had Moskrop on last week. I said, you can sit here and you can have a discussion about one taxes versus the other, and it's only 3 cents a liter. I don't know why you're bitching about it, right? But at the end of the day, life is becoming harder and harder to live. That's my issue with it. And so when we've got a government in power that was, it's trying to keep power by trying to over deliver to a demographic, right? Somebody's going to pay for it. And I said it last week when we talked earlier in the week, when we talked about the budget, there's something they're not saying. Someone's going to take it in the hoop. And and of course it's me. I've never benefited from any of these things. Never.
Now you sound
always
like
getting hooped. Always.
Yeah, but you haven't been hooped yet. Haven't been hooped yet. Okay. Yeah, and this is the thing.
I hope the NDP walk away from this coalition and they actually have to call an election. That's what I'm hoping for right now. Because now I'm worried about the PP government, but I don't know anybody. I have not had a conversation with anybody that's going to vote Liberal. I'm talking about my kids. I'm talking about my friends. I'm talking about everybody I know is just so sick of this government that they're done. They're so done. And so this attempt of them trying to actually like buy votes, I knew this is where it was going to go.
You're projecting these things on yourself without having all the information. You're saying that you got fucked. You own a couple of houses.
The capital gains just went up 15%.
Are you selling those houses?
I was going to keep them.
Well, then you don't have to worry about the capital gains tax, do you? Because you're keeping
them. At some point, I'm going to have to. They're going to push it through.
Yeah, so, they're going to push it through on June 25th of this year. So do you want to save 15% by getting that done right away before the market
crashes? It's a conversation.
This is going to crash the market. Then you're going to put a whole bunch of fucking money in your pocket. And how did you get fucked? By putting a whole bunch of money in your pocket.
This was an investment. I wasn't planning on having a conversation with my wife about selling all of our properties right now.
Then don't. But I'm saying you still have options at your disposal. But we go right to the anger. And I get that part of it because it's your money and you worked hard for it. But you haven't been fucked yet. And I'm watching everybody turn around and going, we got fucked, you get fucked. And rich Canada go, oh, by the way, they're fucking us, so they're going to fuck you. Of course, we all get fucked all the time. You know, I watched this morning. This is real. You want to talk about getting fucked in Canada? I watched this morning when they turned gas because you remember yesterday the Trudeau government's like, we're going to tax the fuck out of oil and gas companies. They're like, okay, go ahead. They jacked gas prices 20 cents a liter yesterday. It's 185.
Some places in Ontario went up 25 cents.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Everybody gets fucked. But we're fucked because of where we are. We're fucked because of ourselves. But more importantly, we're fucked because that 0.13% of this country has passed on all of their pain to you and me. And here's the catch. Those guys have spent the last 20 years buying houses. You've been buying houses with what you can, scrimping and saving, doing the right thing for those things. You still have massive equity in those homes. Massive. So I'm speaking to every person like you who is probably going to suffer a loss here. I feel sorry for you. It's not you that I want to get penalized by any of this stuff. It's companies that own 5,000 houses across Canada that will want to give up 2,500 of them because then we're going to have places to live. Then people like your daughters are going to be able to buy a house. And let's turn that around, right? You got two beautiful daughters, both just spitfires, take after you and the wife. You've raised two beautiful kids that are responsible. They want to buy houses. Do you want them to be able to buy a house? Would you take a 15% haircut on your capital gains tax?
I'm done taking haircuts, Dean. I'm done. I'm done. I got to start being selfish. And that means I'm going to take a chance on a complete lunatic and vote conservative in this next election.
Do it.
Like that's how bad it is.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how bad it is. Like I'm done bending over. We got to stop just bending over and taking it. And we got to stop fighting with each other about, you know, like if I see one more person on Twitter calling out all of Alberta because we're upset about the carbon tax. I mean, just stop it, people. Life is not easy to live. One guy that I see do this on a regular basis has never been able to afford a home and is in his late 40s and is still renting. I'm not going to mention the guy's name, but is constantly making fun of people complaining about tax. And I'm like, you should be worried about where you're at. You've got nothing. You've got nothing. You've got no investments in real estate. At least my wife and I took a chance on real estate, right? And yeah. and we thought we were being smart.
Yeah.
And then that gets the rug gets pulled out from it. And we're not alone. Like listen, they kept saying that we're going to tax the wealthy. I am the furthest thing from wealthy. We took a chance on real estate because if you go back and look in history, it actually pays off, right?
Yeah,
it does.
Should.
They're doing their best to make sure that'll never happen. I'm never going to be able to retire.
Yeah,
I'm literally going to be working until I die. And I think most people around 40, 45, 50 years of age have just sort of succumbed to that fact based on how we are governed in this country. You are never going to be able to retire. They're going to find a way to fuck you because if you actually end up putting together enough money for a down payment on an investment property, they're going to find a way to screw you. That's the world that we live in. That's Canada. Like, start the anthem.
Has it always been Canada? Yep.
We've always been taxed. We've always been
the most heavily taxed out of any socialist democracy. Social democracy.
I think France is really bad.
Here's the thing: women get 2 years off for mat leave.
They have way better social services, but you pay through the nose and taxes.
Way better.
Many European countries, you pay a lot of taxes. But
Hey, dude. Hey, listen. I think unless anybody,
not only that, here's the other problem. These budget changes are like, they're not going to have an impact. It's going to have a negative impact on inflation. And I am not smart enough to understand how that all works. But from everything that I'm, the pundits and the people that things that I'm reading and seeing on the news, that this was not, and this is, I try to separate the conjecture from, like, you know, from the conservative government or whatever. Like, I'm trying to actually listen to people that are having calm conversations about this. This budget is going to do nothing to slow down inflation, right?
The budget actually is designed. It is designed to work with inflation. It's designed to work with inflation to bring inflation down. If you can get people who are skipping out on, because that's the other part of this. They want to go after people that have skipped out on taxes, meaning have spent years hiding them in offshore accounts, right? They want to do that. CRA was given teeth to do that. Canada Revenue Agency. I get people not being able to afford to pay taxes and skipping out on those things on a yearly basis when it's a couple.
Why grand is there such grand a motivation to get your money out of Canada?
But that's the interesting part. Well, hang on. That
should be an interesting conversation.
Because corporate greed is corporate greed, and corporate greed is the number one driver of inflation. Let me finish, please. So I'm going to look at a guy like Galen Weston. Galen Weston and the Weston Group of Families, who fought the government of Canada several years ago over a $328 million tax bill. What he did is he shuffled all of that into an offshore account. Then the government's like, hey, that's going to help us. And he's like, hey, fucking come get it. And you can call him a hero if you like. But that guy makes billions, and he owns the province of Ontario and everybody's life cycle from the second you are born till the second you die. Shoppers Drug Mart. Healthcare. I mean, and his Shoppers Drug Mart chain is currently being investigated for forcing people to pay for appointments they don't need. So a guy like that, I feel zero sympathy for. I hope he gets taxed out the asshole. I hope by the time the CRA is done with him, he's standing there going, I need to move to another country. I hope he does. People like him, people like Apotex, people at like Microsoft who hasn't paid any taxes, none. Big fucking tech companies, big construction companies who all do the same thing. If you ask me, that is one of the fucking most important aspects of this budget, is that somebody finally said, we're going to go get some of these dicks and make them pay their fair share. You've been paying your fair share and you're about to get dinged, maybe if you decide to sell before the 25th of the month, right, of June. Maybe. You might. But to your point, downloading that onto the people of Canada, even if it's the 0.13%, while those businesses and those people have been hiding billions of trillions of dollars every year from social programs because they want to pay it.
No,
it's not. But this is also part of the discussion. And we're centered on you and what's going to happen to you. You're one fucking person.
I'm not alone. You're one alone in this.
No, I know you're not. But you're one fucking person. But you can't say that people shouldn't pay their fair share. Right.
I'm not saying that we overpay our share.
I just said that.
I literally just said that.
What I'm talking about are all the assholes, the richest of the richest of the rich.
Go after them.
Yes.
Then find another way.
Yes. Yes. I'm in. That's where we all agree. Let's go get them.
Maybe take the capital gains away from somebody that owns a couple of houses.
Yes.
Maybe like the capital gains is only if you have 10. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like maybe do it. That because yeah. you're like, we were able to put ourselves in a situation financially where we were able to keep our last place and rent it out.
Yeah.
We were able to put ourselves in a situation where we were able to buy an apartment in Winnipeg for my daughter, which we now rent out. These are what we term as investment properties. What this budget does is takes away any chance of us ever making any money on them, probably, right? Especially if the market does crash. And so I understand, I get it. I understand what mm-hmm. you're saying, and I understand they're taking the steps to try to improve the housing market.
And affordability, yep.
And affordability
yep.
at the expense of people who have busted their asses and worked hard and paid their fair share of taxes over the years.
I have a question
like myself,
for you.
And I can be upset about it.
You can be as upset as you want. I have a question for you, though. I have a question for you.
This is the first time I've thought. I was watching a guy today on CBC talk about this capital gains increase, right? Mm-hmm. And for the first time, because I've been sick to my stomach, because I know Trudeau has to go, but I'm terrified about the possibility of this. The first time where I was like, I am full on PP. I'm literally going to get a sticker for the fucking car. Like I'm so done. And the thing is, Dean, there's a lot of people, not just the rich, that are hiding money overseas. Like, if you think that is exclusive to the Galen Westons of Canada, so wrong. There is massive attempts to move money out of this country to hide it from this government and past governments. And it's been going on forever. And it's all levels of income earners, because we get hooped in Canada. People look for opportunities. And that fringe group of people like Kevin Johnston, that's down in Costa Rica right now, doing seminars, Zoom seminars with people on how to hide their money. That group is growing daily. We're in trouble. This country's in trouble. It really is.
No, it isn't.
I disagree.
And here's the thing. I get so fucking tired of all that. Every single person in this country that says how much they love the country. And anytime someone says, hey, can you pay up?
It's getting harder.
It. It's awful. It's terrible.
It's getting harder to love this country, though.
But then I sit and watch people like you complain about affordability, right? It's impossible to live in this country. Someone does something about affordability with tax money that you will never see. And you go, that's it. Fuck off, everybody, already. Like, I am exhausted listening to people all of a sudden be interested.
I understand it.
$1 billion spend on this or that. And they go, I hate that one. I hate this one. Back to Alberta, okay, for a second. You got people taking three-year-olds to the side of the Trans-Canada Highway to protest this carbon tax. Meanwhile, okay, your province has rolling blackouts. You pay more for insurance, more for electricity, and they just jacked your gas prices up 14 extra cents. On top of OPEC doing it to you today for an extra 15 to 20 cents, depending on where you live.
Yeah, we had gas was literally like
sitting
a buck,
there going,
buck 30. We like now that. It's like a buck 65.
We like that as Albertans. We like that tax. It's the 3 cent tax that we might be getting back. We're angry. Dude, it is not a la carte. Okay. This is the thing. And I will say this to you, and I'll say this to every single other person that looks at taxes or spends and goes, that's enough. When did that start? Well, it's been enough for 100 years. We've been saying the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
But like, what is everybody just going to pick their favorite? Everybody's going to pick their favorite tax. Is that what you guys say? Oh, I just don't like that tax. The other taxes are good. Nobody who's angry about this is educated about it. Nobody. Not one fucking person. Maybe you. You might be, and you have a reason to be frustrated because you're not in the same bracket that's going to get dinged, and you might get dinged. I get that. But the average person who's protesting a 3 cent tax by fucking camping out at a border at the side of the highway and saying, we're not going to leave until you take the 3 cent tax, while you got hustled for 30 more cents this month and no one's saying a fucking word about that, tells me one thing and one thing only, that anybody who's upset about the government spending more money or a tax, which everybody hates taxes. You hear the word tax. Of course, we all fucking hate it. I hate it.
Let me ask you.
If you do not understand it, if you do not get it from top to bottom, that all taxes are bad and you can only rage about this tax because it's attached to that guy.
I agree with you on that.
Are fucking morons.
Yeah.
Morons.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
If I just randomly said, all right, I was able to wave some magic wand, and I said to you, Dean, we have to get Justin Trudeau back in power, okay?
I hope he leaves. I hope he's gone too.
No. We're talking about a hypothetical.
Sail into the middle of the ocean, never come back.
I'm talking about a hypothetical situation, just right, based on what you know about the climate,
yeah,
and the conversation that's happening in the world that we live in right now, just knowing what you know about how divisive the world is and these crazy conversations that we have for 30 minutes about tax on a podcast when we spent the first 20 minutes talking about Tim Hortons pizza. Okay, let me ask you a question.
Cheap cheese.
Dean gets to actually make some decisions. We're leaving you in charge of the entire government of Canada.
I clean it up.
Would you do what they just did?
No.
Exactly. That's the frustration that I have with this whole thing. And I don't know what it is about government and politicians. They always seem to want to be doing something. When I think a lot of times they need to pull back. And this is the problem I have with this government. The smartest thing they could have done is just said, we're not making any more changes. We're not making any spending cut. Like, we're just status quo and shut up and just wait till the election. Instead, they try to make it look like they're trying to do something. And in fact, all they're doing is just making our lives a little bit harder to live. They went on this
not the majority,
3 week. They went on this 3 week thing about announcing all of this money. And every time they announced it, it wasn't about, and again, you're right. People don't dig into these things and they don't they don't learn about it. All everyone heard, myself included, was you're spending another what? And then the next day it's like, oh, it's $3 billion on that. And then
if they offered,
you know what? It could have been the best thing in the world.
If they offered a $3 billion rebate, a commitment to rebate alcohol, make it cheaper for every Canadian.
Dean, you're not hearing what I'm saying.
I am hearing you. Let me just kind of give the comparative. If they offered all Canadians, like, you know, in Ontario, where Doug Ford is like, we're going to put beer in corner stores, the entire fucking country cheered. Everybody's like,
yes.
We're going to tax the shit out of you, but we're going to
that just shows how shallow we are.
We're going to put White Claws in the 7-Eleven. Everybody's like, yeah, great idea. That's our tax money at work.
Well, he got in by giving us weed.
Dollar beer. We got in by doing dollar beers. So, to your point, you expect those people to understand tax code or what affordability really means, or how inflation works?
No one gets it.
Politics, all we hear is the dumbest fucking people on the planet. Yeah.
That's all we hear.
And that's good. Spending so we can make affordability a real thing in this country when it comes to first-time homeowners, right? Is a good thing. It's a good thing. Some people are going to get caught up in it, mostly the richest assholes in the country and big business. Great.
You are on an island.
I know.
Talk about fringe group.
I am.
You are on an island.
And I like it here.
Heard was 38 million. You're spending 38 million.
Billion, actually.
Billion. You're spending $38 billion. Where's this coming from? That's all I heard. That's all everybody heard.
And the richest.
They just shot themselves in the foot.
Through loans. And the richies.
Dude,
all taxes are bad. Where it's coming from us, I get it. It's awful. But something's got to be done. It's called austerity. Sometimes you get pinched. So you remember 2008, okay? And we'll end here. 2008. You remember the big car crash back in the day where Canada had to buy parts of General Motors and the United States had to buy pieces of General Motors and car companies and Merrill Lynch and
that
fucking
was tied
Lehman Brothers.
Subprime
mortgage crash.
Subprime mortgage crash. Yeah.
So if you're Fannie Mae, you remember those? So
yeah.
At that time, I was making some significant income. Let's just call it for fun $1 million. And it wasn't, but it was around there.
I get a letter from my boss.
We got to
cinch our belts.
We're going to take 15% of your contract and keep it. 15%. You know what I said? All right. Nothing I can do. 15%. Got to tighten our belts. It's going to help the company. Chorus Entertainment, by the way, when I was at the Edge. And it happened to every person that made over X amount of dollars. And they brought us all together and they said, we're sorry. We have to do this. We need to do it for the health of the company. They showed us the bottom line.
And I looked at the CEO of the company. He was a friend of mine. His name's John. I go, are you taking a 15% haircut? And he looked at me and smiled. He goes, 55. 55 for the good of the company. And I go, then I am more than happy to contribute my 15. And Derringer was there. All the big earners were there. All the morning show guys were there. Signed a piece of paper. Did a little amendment. We all went for dinner.
Probably cost 10 grand.
Anyway, I did that because it was asked of me, right? It was. And I think that, and you can call me socialist, you can call me a commie, you can call me all those things. I don't care. But I believe that sometimes it's our duty to pay a little bit more so people can have stuff, so my kids can afford a house one day and your girls can. That's where I sit with this. Because you're going to have to pay Caesar what Caesar is owed. I mean, you're never going to get around taxes. You're just not. No. And the only solution, as you point out, is to pull a Kevin J. Johnson and split to Costa Rica and just set up a fucking business where
you're going to
help
number?
Other people dodge taxes. But it is always going to catch you. It always is. So you got two jobs right now as someone like you who's got homes. Decide how you're going to keep that 15% in your pocket, maybe sell houses. But it's up to everybody to respond to this properly. This is austerity. We're in trouble. North America's fucked. Canada has a hard time fucking housing people, feeding people. Butter's $7 a stick. That needs to be dealt with too, and that's dealt with in this budget. So to your point, all taxes are bad. I am not on the government side. I never am. I hate all politics. I know that when someone tells you what you can and can't have, it sucks. I get it all the time. But I live that life, and I get it. And it's pointless to rage at it unless you're you and you've worked really hard and you're not rich and you're about to lose and get caught up in this. That I get.
Totally. Well, and I will just preface this by saying it. You were able to afford that cut.
Yeah.
That's why they asked you.
And then
and
some.
I was working at Chorus at the same time.
Yeah.
No one pulled me aside and asked me to take a haircut.
Yeah.
Right. And at this point right now, that 15% increase in capital gains, I can't afford it. It's going to have a major, major, major impact on my ability to retire.
So your job is to take that money out, sink it into a business.
I'm allowed to be angry about it.
Totally.
Right. And I'm very Canadian and I'm very loyal to this country. I still will say this. This is the best country in the world to live in. And that's not lost on me. It's getting harder and harder to watch the amount of money that we're able to save shrink on a monthly basis. Mm-hmm. It's getting harder and harder to watch.
Very
tough. And the fact that they were unable to actually just stop spending, they just couldn't do it. They had to just keep doing it. I understand there's a housing crisis, which they caused. They could have dealt with this years ago.
Then you respond to it. And this has been 30, 40 years. And so today I went and picked up a Tesla this morning.
And we bought a hybrid Toyota.
See, smart. We're being smart about it. You got to respond to all these things. And that's what they're trying to do, right?
Respond. You did a great
job. And I will be, calling Kevin, seeing if there's any way that I can hide some money.
Costa Rica. I kind of want to get him on the show to talk about this stuff again, because if I thought you were raging, wait till Kevin J. Johnson hears about this.
I'm frustrated. I'm not raging. And Kevin doesn't have any money. He hasn't worked since 2002.
Told us he sent the government a SIN card and he's like, I'm never paying taxes again. And then he goes, that's when the problem started.
Well, there's that guy that's going into the Home Depot and paying with cash and refusing to pay your tax. I mean, come on. That's just stupid. Like,
this is going to give a rise to like libertarianism, the Freeman movement. Like, that's a real big movement now where people are like, I don't feel like I have to do anything.
Oh, I keep telling you that remember when we were first talking about the gang that was on its way to Ottawa?
Yeah.
And I kept saying, there's more than you think. It's not 35 cars.
6,000.
No, it was like, it was like 500 cars and a couple
that
of trucks.
Group is larger. This is not a fringe group anymore. There
and
they is
brought
a
their meth cooking kits and everything.
And we're not doing anything to anyway. Let's play the retro replay of the day.
Locker room retro replay of the day brought to you by Arden Roof Systems. Early bird for their golf tournament, which supports Stollery Child Life's program. April. Is in April. That's the deadline. You need to go there and donate, get a sponsorship for a hole. They want to fill it up. So far, $65,000. And these are the best people in the world. Stacy Disatel and his group at Ardent Roof Systems. They are the best roofing, siding, eaves company in the entire province. Owens Corning, platinum partner. Lachlan, what is the locker room retro replay of the day today?
This is about the first time I had sex.
The locker room retro replay.
The locker room topic of the day.
Okay, what would you have liked to have known about sex before you had sex for the first time? Okay.
Here we go. The first time Lachlan Cross has ever revealed this.
I was a bit of a late bloomer.
Okay.
Not surprising to anyone. So it was college for me.
First time was not with your wife?
No.
Okay.
No. The third time was with my wife. So I was in university transfer courses in Castlegar, Selkirk College.
Okay.
Because vocational everybody school. Yes. Everybody told me that I had good grades and I had some bursaries and some money or whatnot, and I had to go to school. Radio school was a dumb idea, la da da da. I only lasted a couple of semesters at that school. I met a woman who was also going to school there.
Okay. A teacher?
No, we'll leave her name out of it. She was a student. She was in one of my classes.
Some pretty little filly.
Took a little shine to old Locker. And we took off in the afternoon and we went back to my apartment. We had sex.
Okay.
Literally, and I'm not exaggerating, I would say 2 hours later, just after I had had dinner,
mm-hmm.
I hear a knock at my door. It's her with her husband.
Oh, what? What? So you're going to college with this girl. You end up hooking up.
I had no idea she was married.
She comes back with her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Did they hook up with you? Like, was this a three-way?
No, he was mad.
Oh.
He wanted to kick my ass. The problem was, he was about 5'3" and about 125 pounds.
So was she using you to
I don't
make
know,
her husband
Grant,
jealous, and then she went home and told him?
I was mortified.
Yeah, no kidding.
So it was my first time, and then...
So you wish somebody would have told you to
sometimes
check out the background info
sometimes
first?
Sometimes they're married.
Wow.
Yeah.
Never expected that.
Not a proud moment. No Locker's life.
Oh, wow. That's your first experience. That is stress when that dude shows up. Good thing he was tiny. Good thing he was a little dude.
Is that your story?
Is the first 100% time you went for it? And you didn't. Oh, well. It's unlucky. You didn't ask.
It's unlucky. Not, thanks it's like, for that.
How uncomfortable
didn't,
was it answering
didn't
the door?
Think of asking. Hey, you're not married, are you? You're 19. Would you be married? Perchance.
Oh, well. Good for you. Yeah. What did he say?
Oh, I can.
Sex with my
you
wife.
Know, it's funny because, you know.
What did he say? Do you remember what he said? Hey,
I
I'm
can
Tom.
Picture
you had
the
sex
scene.
With my wife.
I can. He was doing a lot of, you think you're a big man, big shot. Like he was doing a
Dude,
lot of that
I had
stuff.
No idea. I had no idea.
That's I what I was saying.
I would not have hit that if I knew.
I didn't ever use terms like that.
In front of him? That's when you really could have drove home how much fun you had, right?
Dude, I wouldn't have crushed that for 2 solid hours if I knew.
See, yeah, none of that was coming out of my mouth. And I had a buddy over too. We were studying for a test or something.
Well, good for you.
And he's in the room. He's in the next room and he like sticks his head out and he's like, is everything okay? And I'm like, not a good time. Not a good time. Finally, he left after like 10 minutes of just awkwardness. In the-
he subjected himself to that for 10 minutes. Like, if I found out that that happened to me, I'd be like, I'm out. I'm not wasting any more time. I'm not confront this guy. That's all.
I don't even know what happened with that relationship. Like, if it, I hope it ended.
I think you crushed it. Yeah, that's, I think you probably put it.
Sometimes, though, those dysfunctional relationships, for whatever reason, they're just, they're together. And that's, they kind of deserve each other. Right. So
good,
maybe
for you. You're the first guy I've heard tell that story.
I've heard stories of guys doing it for the first time getting like herpes. I've never heard of guys doing it for the first time and getting a husband that came to their porch and goes, "Save my wife."
Well, and the thing, the crazy thing about it too is like, it's obvious that she was doing something. I don't know what she was doing. She was trying to end it, or
she's like, sex with you is what she's doing.
Trying to have some level of dysfunction in her relationship for whatever reason. She needed that in her life at that time. And of
course, clearly she
drank down the garden. I think because her husband was 5'3". That's probably had a lot to do with it, right? Yeah, he had a little dinghy. Yeah,
probably.
Congratulations.
Way to make an honest one out of her.
Just the stress. I feel the stress of that moment on me right now.
Good. Hope you wear it forever.
And I can picture, I can see her standing behind him. I can see him, like I couldn't write down what we talked about, but that just the image of it, the hallway, the apartment building, what the door looked like.
What was my your first buddy experience? Of course, you couldn't believe your luck, right?
Yeah,
you're like, it's finally happening. How old were you? 18, 19?
18, 19,
yeah. 18, 19, in there. Yeah. Late bloomer, you think it's happening, finally happens. Get a knock at the door 2 hours later, you feel pretty good about yourself. Guy's like,
excuse me.
You know what? That's,
did you have sex with my wife? Excuse me.
And you're like, yep, I sure did.
That experience kind of sums up my whole life. Taxes and sex.
Lock and Cross at Lock and Cross on Twitter, everybody. You can find them in the Locker Room YouTube page. Go give them a sub. You can listen to all the Locker Room bits, retro replays of the day brought to you by Ardent Roof Systems. And again, get in on their golf tournament if you're in the Edmonton area and you want to sub to this golf tournament. It's great. Stollery Child Life Program. They put $65,000 towards it over the past 5 years. Stacy and his group are super dedicated to helping children live their best lives. So the ArdentRoofSystems.com. Stollery Child Life Program golf tournament, you can go and get a foursome. Go do it today. Go to ArdentRoofSystems.com and you can donate there. You can sponsor something there. The early bird is, I think, till the end of the month. So make sure you get in on today, Ardent Roof Systems. As always, we're brought to you by our friends at Cantorque as well. They have manufactured for the past 20 years the most rugged, hardworking torque wrenches. Canada's leading industrial tool experts give you the very best in sales, service, rentals, calibration, and maintenance. In custom fabrication of bolting tools, fastening, loosening tools, all torque wrenches, flange systems, impact sockets. If you're looking for unparalleled expertise in one-stop shop, every solution under one roof, from rentals, calibration, repairs, custom fabrication of industrial torque tools, cantorque.com. And Colin have a brand new website. You can check out all their products and services as well. They're the best in the world at what they do for heavy industry, tunneling machines, forestry, railroad, nuclear. If you have a bolting or loosening or fastening need, if you have a bolting solution that you can't find a bolting solution for, Colin will make it for you. His entire team of engineers do this every day, all day long. And they do it for heavy industry around the world. Go to cantorque.com for more information. And we're also brought to you by Muse Massage Spa, musemassagespa.com. Go there today. It's Canada's number one body rub parlor. $50 treatment right now. You'll get $50 off when you get in touch with Emily or Riley. Emily just had her Twitter account fed, which is insane. But go to musemassagespa.com. Send them a note. You can get in contact with them. There's a whole contact section of their website if you want to see their services. And they've got a podcast, which actually exists at Patreon, which is great. It's uncensored. You can go and sub to that. You can also get their YouTube podcast as well and their audio version, Muse on the Mic. Anywhere you get your fine podcasts, including at Cryer Media, go to cryer.co for more details, or anywhere you get your fine podcasts. And, of course, Patreon, YouTube, Muse on the Mic podcast. They'll educate you and tell you about the sex work industry, as a matter of fact. Not only are they sexologists and educators, they're advocates. So go there today, Muse Massage Spa, 1290 Finch Avenue West, Unit 13, or go to musemassagespa.com for more details. We're also brought to you by factcheck.io. It's the most robust disinformation killing software you can find. And they're currently accepting beta applicants right now. If you would like to test their program, if you would like to see the full epistemology of how a lie begins and ends, if you want to see who's doing what, how disinformation works, and if you want to take agency over what you read, see, hear, and feel of anything with a URL, any picture, any video, any spoken word, any text, go to factcheck.io today and sign up for their beta program, factcheck.io, factcheck.io. Do you believe? Have a great day, everybody. Appreciate you being here. We're back tomorrow on this very program. We'll finish out the week strong. Don't buy the Tim Hortons pizza. Every review says they're terrible or edible. You don't want it. You're welcome. I'm helping you. You're welcome. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Don't forget everything we do. Rate, subscribe, YouTube, Cryer Media, YouTube, Dean Blundell Show, and anywhere you get our podcast. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.